Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, emergency workers are still clearing the destruction caused by last night's Russian attack on Kyiv, which killed at least 8 people, making it the deadliest night in the Ukrainian capital in over a year. US President Donald Trump posted on social media this afternoon, saying, "I am not happy with the Russian strikes on Kyiv. Not necessary and very bad timing. Vladimir, stop. 5,000 soldiers a week are dying. Let's get the peace deal done." The US administration is ramping up pressure on President Zelensky and Ukraine to accept a 7-point American plan for peace. Meanwhile, there's been strong international support for Ukraine, with French President Macron saying Zelensky cannot be expected to accept a ceasefire deal while his capital is being bombed. Well, for the latest, we're joined now from Kyiv by Kyiv-based Ukrainian MP Lesia Vasilenko. Lesia, very welcome as always to the programme. And we might start with those deadly attacks last night. I know you were tweeting about it last night. Were you near the site of what happened?
No, as I'm in the downtown of Kyiv, it wasn't that near to me, but the attacks were happening in the residential, very much densely populated residential areas of Kyiv. And it was a mixed attack of what we know now, that it was drones together with missiles. And it was a mass attack, meaning that the amount of air defense that we have in Kyiv, which is quite a lot, was not enough to withstand and to protect all of the several million Kyiv population.
What is it like in Kyiv today?
Today it's very quiet, as people are recovering from last night and processing the news. I mean, since 2 in the morning, hardly anyone slept because of the air raid and because of the explosions, which were heard all over the city, because although the hits were in the residential areas, but the air defense was working in every single area of the city. And the city is very much shaken by the number of casualties. We have over 100 wounded and almost a dozen killed as a result of tonight. And every citizen of Kyiv can't help but wonder, what if the air defense didn't work in their own district of the city? Mm. What if it was their own flat that was hit, and what an unfortunate death it would have been to die in your own bed when you were sleeping quietly, and when you opted not to go down to the shelter, but you opted to have a full night's sleep.
And indeed, what would the casualties have been like without the air defense? I imagine is another question that might be in people's minds today.
Absolutely. The air defense, when myself, my colleagues, the government of Ukraine, the president of Ukraine is asking for more air defense and for just general weapons for Ukraine to be able to defend itself, it's exactly to prevent casualties in situations like this when Russia is striking. And Russia is striking on a daily basis, regardless what kind of ceasefires Putin might be declaring, or so to speak declaring. Russia has one aim and one aim only: to get rid of Ukraine as an independent country. And they will not stop at anything at all whatsoever unless they are made to stop. And the only way to stop them is by force. This is why Ukraine needs the weapons, needs the air.
Maybe that Lesia's line has dropped there. It certainly sounds like Lesia's line has dropped. We'll try and get her back up on the line, because she was moving towards the issue that we want to deal with, which is what happens next. And obviously over the last 24 hours, there's been a lot of discussion about a potential peace deal, with Donald Trump putting a lot of pressure on President Zelensky in particular to make a deal with Russia. And it appears that much of what has been put on the table. I think we have Lesia back with us now. Do we have Lesia there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, great. Sorry, your line just dropped for a minute, Lesia. I was just explaining to our listeners that I did want to speak to you about what happens now, because there has been a lot, obviously, over the last 24 hours about the potential of a peace deal, and a lot of pressure coming from the US in particular in relation to that. Yesterday, Donald Trump saying he found it easier to negotiate with Moscow than he did with Ukraine, saying he thought we have a deal with Russia. What's your reaction to what Donald Trump has been saying?
Well, it's quite ridiculous, because what kind of a deal is this? When what is it, a deal to have more strikes on Ukraine? Is it a deal to have strikes on the capital of Ukraine to kill more civilians? Because this is what it looks like from the Ukrainian side. I don't see that there has been a deal struck at all whatsoever, and that there's been any getting closer to any deal being struck, because the strikes in the eastern cities of Ukraine, they are continuing as they were. They haven't declined. And now we have even more new strikes, absolutely drastic strikes, with more and more casualties happening in the cities of Ukraine, which haven't had these strikes before. So as for me, there's no deal. There's no deal. And it's not about President Zelensky not wanting that deal. It's about Russia completely disregarding any kind of deal, which does not include Russia having full power over Ukraine.
What do you think in particular about the proposal on the table from the US, which suggests the US recognizing Russia's 2014 annexation of Crimea, which is obviously an area that Kyiv maintains as Ukrainian territory? A lot of very strong words coming out of Ukraine about that. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, if the US wants to appease the aggressors and wants to send a message out that it's all right to claim other countries' territories, and that then sure, let's recognize the annexation of Crimea, and but then let's not be surprised when there will be a total reshaping of the world order as we know it. Because the message will be sent loud and clear that the crime of aggression can go unpunished, and that it's okay to annex other countries' territories. That actually the US, the biggest democracy of the world today and the biggest deterrent to undemocratic actions, is backing up this sort of strategy when might can be right and when might can rule.
Donald Trump has obviously accused Vladimir Zelensky of prolonging the war in Ukraine because of his particular stance over Crimea. Oh, I think we may have lost Lesia again, unfortunately. Hopefully we can get her back up again, because I want to talk about a tweet that was put out by Donald Trump Jr. in the last couple of hours. And he's talking about how Crimea should be the easiest concession for President Zelensky to make, he says, because it's been part of Russia for the last decade. The vast majority of its population are ethnic Russians, and Ukraine has no military way to retake it. So Donald Trump Jr. saying Zelensky doesn't want peace. I think we have Lesia back again, and apologies to yourself, Lesia, and indeed to our listeners. I don't know, obviously you're in Kyiv and a lot going on there today, so the line just not holding up for us. But I just wanted to ask you particularly about this tweet from Donald Trump Jr. over the last couple of hours, where he says, for those people who haven't been paying attention, Zelensky doesn't want peace. And he's referring to another analysis which says Crimea should be the easiest concession for Zelensky to make.
It's not an easy concession for Zelensky to make. It's about Ukrainian territory. Giving up one part of our territory will mean that Russia will be endorsed to take on more Ukrainian territory. And this is exactly what happened, because in 2014, when essentially Ukraine was powerless in the face of Russian aggression and could not take back or fight back for Crimea, Russia moved to Donetsk and Luhansk region immediately. And this means that unless Russia is stopped, Russia will continue.
So is there anywhere here that you can see some sort of deal that could be made? For example, if the US could be convinced to give some sort of security guarantee, so that if we freeze the lines where they are at the moment, allow Russia, I suppose, to hold what it has taken, but have US security guarantees to prevent them coming any further. Do you think that would be acceptable to the Ukrainian people?
Well, can the US give a security guarantee like that? What will it look like? NATO membership? Is that on the table? Or is that also something that Putin is demanding that Ukraine never get? Because it is one of the conditions of Russia. That's the biggest security guarantee. If the US isn't providing that, and the US clearly isn't providing that because they are playing to Putin's pipe, then there is no other security guarantee. Will the US send boots on the ground to Ukraine? I doubt that very much. Will they call on the other European nations to send boots on the ground to Ukraine? doubt it very much.
So where does this go then? Because you can see clearly from the statements from Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and the administration as a whole that they are setting this up to blame it on Ukraine if this peace process, if you want to call it that, collapses. And they have also made very clear over the last couple of days that they're planning to walk away if the peace process collapses. Where does that leave Ukraine?
That leaves Ukraine relying on Europe to be more responsible for the regional defense and security. And that leaves Europe to be fighting for not just what is right, but also fighting for a stability in the region and for the general defense and security of the region. If the U.S. pulls out of Europe, there is nothing and there's no one that will be stopping, and unless Europe mobilizes its forces, there's nothing and no one that will be stopping Russia from espousing the same kind of strategy towards the Baltic states. And we know that Russia has also aspirations there. I think the last thing that Poland wants is to be facing a border with imperialistic Russia rather than with a democratic Ukraine. And this is something for Europe to be well aware of and to become also a spokesperson for its security when dealing with the United States. Mm. But unfortunately, right now, the United States leadership has a very short-term strategy, opting for quick gains instead of a long-term just and peace which can hold up for centuries to come.
But just finally then, in relation to the EU or Europe and the UK stepping in, if the US does indeed walk away, we were speaking to one analyst yesterday who said that they're not ready. You know, they don't have the military capacity yet to replace what the Americans have done. It's not clear that there is agreement among EU countries to do what needs to be done. Even with the air defences that you were talking about earlier, Lesia, is the capacity there in the EU to replace what America gives you from that perspective?
Regardless of what happens next, the EU needs to grow its capacity to be able to defend itself. The European countries and the UK, which is part of the EU at the moment, they all need to take defence and security more responsibly and increase the defence spending. Unfortunately, it's not happening, although Ukraine has been all over the place asking, not even for our own sake, but for the sake of these countries, to take defense and security more seriously and to look at Ukraine's example. Because the reluctance to increase defense spending up to 5% or slightly more will then lead you to having to spend 36% of your budget on defense spending, because this is what Ukraine is doing. And the amount that we are spending on defense is growing by the day.
Lesia, we'll leave it there for the moment, and thank you for joining us on the programme, and apologies again for the line dropping a couple of times. I do appreciate your time. That's Lesia Vasilenko, Ukrainian MP, there joining us from Kiev.